Welcome back to the Mittner Method. I'm your host, Andrew Mittner, and today we are going to continue our series on returning quarterbacks in college football. We're going to look at the SEC today as we have five quarterbacks who look to make a difference in the landscape of the conference. So as stated before, we will be using my database that I have built. And the threshold for a returning quarterback is to have recorded 125 dropbacks in 2023. Any player that has not recorded at least that many dropbacks, they will not be considered in this series. And the reason we do that is simply we want to have a large enough sample size to determine whether or not the production is good or bad. That way we're not kind of stuck in a gray area where we're projecting what someone could be. Now, this landscape in this season for the SEC is much different than it's ever been. It doesn't really feel like, you know, it's Alabama and Georgia versus everyone. It feels as if there are other teams emerging as legitimate contenders. And the reason for that is the emergence of quarterback play. Normally, in the past, you would view SEC quarterbacks as just they're all game managers. You know, they're just going to win with defense. You know, but, you know, it is 2024 and offenses are evolving. And obviously, the biggest storyline is, you know, Nick Saban retiring, Kalen DeBoer coming in from Washington and taking over. And then, you know, that paired with, you know, Oklahoma and Texas joining the conference. There's just an endless amount of things to talk about. Now, there are three transferring quarterbacks into the SEC, but I just do not see them making a difference to actually how the conference plays out. I'm not saying they're not good or anything like that. We just want to focus on the quarterbacks that are going to make a difference on their teams towards either an SEC championship or, you know, possibly a college football championship. And so we're going to take a look at those. We're going to use PFF grades and PFF metrics to evaluate each quarterback. I'll go over those. And then we're going to use my metrics that I have created to kind of give us like an overall look at them. So the PFF metrics we use is going to be their grades for like the kept clean, which would be like an optimal condition, like a clean pocket for the quarterback to throw from. And then when a quarterback is under pressure, which is more of a volatile statistic, it's not as stable year to year. And then we're going to have depth profiles for each quarterback. So whether how they do on short passes, which are 1 to 9 yards, how they fare on medium passes, which is 10 to 19 yards, and then deep passes, which is 20 yards or more. And then my unique metrics that I've come up with are Mickey Mouse throw percentages, which is a combination of behind the line of scrimmage attempts and short attempts. The average for this is 55.8%. And so one thing, this is more not just of like, oh, we want to know where quarterbacks are throwing the ball. It's more of an indication of whether or not coaches trust the quarterback to open the offense up and to elevate the offense to a different level, or are they just wanting to keep them safe? They're giving them these layup safe throws to manage the offense, and they're going to try to win in another way. The big dog throw percentage is a combination of medium attempts and deep attempts. Now, the average big dog attempts percentage is 37.6%. So that is really where we're looking to see if these quarterbacks elevate their teams and really can change the game environment on, you know, the snap of one throw. So with all that being said, we're going to dive in. I'm going to do, obviously all we have are returning quarterbacks. Now we will have some that are transferring from, you know, another conference, but they are returning to their team. So, you know, all the same. First, I'm going to start off with Jalen Milroe at Alabama. His profile is interesting to say the least, and we're going to kind of dive into that. His kept clean PFF grade, 13th, and his kept clean QB rating, 11th. Now, his under pressure doesn't really vary much. It's 64th and 12th. Where we really get to see Jalen Milroe shine is in his deep attempts percentage. He's 9th in deep attempts percentage, and he's 2nd in PFF grade and 5th in QB rating. He is the only quarterback out of 158 qualifying quarterbacks to rank top 10 in deep attempts percentage, deep PFF grade, and deep QB rating. It is not far-fetched to say he is the best deep ball thrower in college football. So the thing that stands out on the rest of his depth profile is going to be in the medium attempts percentage, which is he is 54th in medium attempts percentage, and he's 134th in PFF grade and 99th in QB rating. So what that tells me is those type of throws are not being schemed up for him, and they're not, they're just not as easy as they could be. Now, the deep throw, obviously throwing the ball deep, you know, that's harder. That takes a lot of arm talent. That takes a lot of improvisation, you know, and he's got that. But in the structure of the offense in the middle of the field, he's not getting either the schemed plays he needs, or he's having trouble reading in that area of the field. And we'll dive more into that as we go on. Now, his Mickey Mouse attempts percentage, 152nd, and his Big Dog attempts percentage, 12th. So I don't want to say that the offense trusted, or the coaching staff trusted him to push the ball down the field. I'm going to go out on a limb and say he just pushed it down the field, because watching him play last year, he had to improvise a ton. He was under pressure, it seems like, every game, and he had to really make the offense his own. And that's where we get to my next point. He is going to get a gigantic upgrade from a play caller standpoint. As most of you know, if you know me, I am a huge Notre Dame fan, and I cannot really put it kindly. I have a giant disdain for how Tommy Rees, A, played quarterback at Notre Dame, and how he calls a football game. I just think as an offensive coordinator, he just struggles, to put it kindly, to scheme easy layup throws for quarterbacks. And this is just kind of crucial for a quarterback to get in a rhythm. If anybody watched the Michigan game, the game plan just was not there. Now, granted, Michigan, incredible. They won the national championship last year, best defense. But he could not scheme him up something to make him feel comfortable at any point of that entire game. And that is going to be his biggest opportunity for improvement, is at the medium depth. And I think with the entire Washington staff coming in, they are going to be able to scheme those plays up, and they're going to be able to help him take advantage of that. Now, this is obviously going to all be based off Milroe's ability to pick up the system. And if he picks it up quick enough, I mean, he will be on the short list of Heisman candidates, and Alabama will be looking at making the playoff again. Now, they're going to be up against it. They play the 11th hardest strength of schedule in all of college football, but the expectations are still high. Their win total is 9.5. If they get to 10 wins, they're going to be in the playoff. Like, they're just not going to leave them out, probably. The majority of the success is going to probably come based off the defense, as they're only returning 115th in defensive returning production. So that'll, be seen. We'll have to see how that plays out. The next quarterback on the list is going to be Carson Beck at Georgia. Now, realistically, there's not really much to say that hasn't already been said. He's the Heisman Trophy favorite, and he's probably going to be a top 5 draft pick. Simply, he is the prototypical passer, pocket passer that is coveted through all eras and through by all teams. His kept clean PFF grade, 5th overall. Kept clean QB rating, 30th. Under pressure, 19th PFF grade, 5th in QB rating. One thing that does stand out to me when we look at his depth profile, but does not concern me, he is 122nd in deep attempts percentage. Now, he wasn't phenomenal. You know, he was above average, though, 32nd in PFF grade, 47th in QB rating. He did flourish in the medium attempts range, 47th in medium attempts, 4th in PFF grade, 18th in medium QB rating. And then when you look at the short attempts, 135th in short attempts, but still, again, 12th in PFF grade, 14th in QB rating. I just, they're, you know, on top of all that, Georgia is 28th in offensive returning production from an elite unit that ranked 4th in 2023 S&P Plus offense. So I don't really see, you know, how he's going to falter. Now, I'm not saying he's going to win the Heisman, and I'm not saying Georgia's going to win the national championship, because there's a lot of things that go into the entire season, and I typically am not going to, you know, take the favorites, as those lines are, you know, they're misguided. You know, you're taking them at their ceiling, basically. But the one thing that is going to stand out and a difference from last year is Georgia's got a significantly tougher schedule. They're going to have the 18th hardest schedule, and it's going to be tougher. Now, does that mean they're not going to steamroll to 12 wins and win the SEC and go into the playoff as a top four team? No, that doesn't mean that. There is going to be adversity, and the only time we did see adversity last year was in the SEC championship game. And even though that was a one-score game, it never felt like Alabama was losing that game. So we will see. On to the next one is going to be Brady Cook at Missouri. now, his profile, again, shows some promise, and it's probably underlooked by the majority of, you know, the public. His kept clean PFF grade is 31st. His kept clean QB rating is 20th. Under pressure, you're going to see a huge split, mainly because he's just not going to escape that pressure. He's just not that type of quarterback. 99th in PFF grade under pressure and 81st in QB rating. His depth profile, his deep attempts, 62nd. And his deep PFF grade, 21st. Deep QB rating, 16th. So essentially right there with the top quarterbacks and pushing the ball downfield. Medium attempts percentage is 99th. He's struggles a little bit there. 42nd in PFF grade and 56th in QB rating. And then short attempts, we have a little bit of a split. He's 98th in short attempts percentage, but he's 124th in short PFF grade, but he's 34th in QB rating. So I don't really know what to chalk that up to. But one thing I will say, Cook did lead Missouri last year to a historic season. They go 11-2. Their only losses are to LSU and Georgia, and they're bringing back their entire wide receiver room. Everyone on that team that had at least 100 receiving yards is back. So that also puts them, you know, they're second in overall offensive returning production. So he can easily surpass the statistics he had last year at Missouri simply because of that returning production, and they play the easiest schedule in the SEC, 115th overall in strength of schedule. The thing is, though, the expectations are higher for Missouri now than they've ever been. Their win total is 9.5. So they're not going to catch anybody sleeping like they did last year. Now, we'll see how that plays out for them, but Cook is not a game manager. He will have to be a difference maker for them to compete and try to replicate last year's season and hopefully make the playoffs. All right. Next on the list, we have Jackson Dart at Ole Miss. And this is a polarizing, I would say, profile, but, you know, we're going to dive into it and make some sense of it. Kept clean PFF grade 12th, and has kept clean QB rating 17th. Under pressure, 58th PFF grade, and then 40th QB rating. Now, his deep attempts, 78th, and his deep PFF grade, 50th, QB rating, 109th. Now, that is kind of concerning, considering he's going up against some of these other just like flamethrowers in this conference. But where he stands out more than anything is in the medium attempt range. He is the only quarterback out of all the qualifying quarterbacks, 158, to rank top 10 in medium attempts percentage, medium PFF grade, and medium QB rating. Attacking that part of the field is just a long, is a staple for Lane Kiffin's offenses everywhere he's went. He just really, really excels in scheming up plays in that part of the field. And he flourished. The offense flourished. He flourished against every team except Georgia and Alabama. Now, this year, his biggest games are going to be against LSU and Georgia. So he will have the opportunities to redeem himself in those aspects. Normally I would be concerned with his deficiencies on the deep end. And, you know, he does struggle somewhat short in the short area field, 70th in PFF grade and 53rd in QB rating. I would normally be concerned about that. But when you excel at picking apart the middle of the field, it kind of makes up for those deficiencies. And, you know, they're going to Ole Miss is one of three teams to be top 30 in returning production offensively and defensively from two units that rank top 30 offensively and defensively in S&P Plus. So, I mean, they're going to be a top-notch team. Now, there have some things that will be going against them, which I'll dive into later in other episodes. But, again, they play a soft schedule, 98th overall. We're going to have to see. But he is capable if he can redeem himself against LSU, Georgia. They can be looking, easily at either playing in the SEC championship or, being a possible two-loss team making the playoff. So our last quarterback is going to be Quinn Ewers, at Texas. And his profile might be the most unique out of pretty much anybody in college football. And we'll dive into that. I'm just going to kind of go down his ratings here real quick. His kept clean PFF grade is 40th. Kept clean QB rating 36th. Now, those are good, but those are not upper echelon, grades. And I think that showed when they played Washington and Michael Penix, and he was just dissecting all over the field. Ewers is just not, he's not top level, but he is very good. One thing is his deep attempts, 133rd, 70th in PFF grade, 54th in QB rating. The medium attempts, he's 21st in medium attempts, and he's 8th in PFF grade and 8th in medium QB rating. Now, what kind of takes a flip is his short attempts, he's 158th in short attempts percentage, and he's 99th in PFF grade and 96th in QB rating. So, what's so unique about his profile is he is the only quarterback in the top 25 and behind the line of scrimmage attempts and medium attempts. So essentially, he has an extremely wide range of outcomes. Because if you're throwing it behind the line of scrimmage attempts, you're not really doing anything there. You're just getting the ball out and to a catchable, wide receiver, and the wide receiver is going to be doing all the work after that. Whereas in the medium range, you're threading the needle over, layering it over several defenders probably into tight windows or open windows, depending on the scheme of the play. So you're more, responsible for that. He's going to have to play better in this conference than he did in the Big 12, though. If he replicates what he did last year, I don't know if Texas, is going to get over 10.5 wins, because this is a much harder conference. And I'm not just saying that, because the Big 12, they're soft, they don't play defense. It's just the facts, it's the facts. Now, their strength of schedule is only 48th, but their win total, you're buying them at the absolute ceiling, 10.5 wins. I don't know if I buy into that. I'll have to look into it deeper. They do have a very solid returning production profile, but that is a high ceiling. And their quarterback can produce a wide range of outcomes, as we have seen in the past. The SEC, that's our last quarterback we're going to go over, but the SEC, to recap, has the deepest pool of talent for quarterbacks this year. I honestly would not be shocked if the Heisman Trophy winner is one of the five quarterbacks we just listed above. And the reason being is those quarterbacks are going to be integral to their team success, and they're going to have plenty of Heisman potential moments to stand out amongst their peers. Those are like part of the formula for winning the Heisman. And I think it's going to be more wide open in the SEC than it's been in the past. And it will be decided by one of these five quarterbacks. So that's all I have for today on this episode. Thank you for tuning in. And we're just going to keep rolling through. We have several more episodes for the QB previews. And I'll catch you guys on the next one. Thank you so much. Take care.